The Spectator magazine combines incisive political commentary with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Stock up on your summer reading with a 12-week subscription, in print and online for just £12. Plus, we'll send you a copy of Spectator columnist Lionel Shriver's new book, The Motion of the Body Through Space, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/Lionel.
Hello, and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls, and this is the Sunday Roundup. The Prime Minister made a trip to Westfield Shopping Centre this afternoon, as many non-essential businesses prepare to reopen from tomorrow. However, the official advice remains for everyone to keep a distance of 2 metres apart. Speaking to BBC News, Boris Johnson outlined the government's plans to review this advice as the economy begins to reopen.
We'll work very closely with the scientists at all times and make the right decision on the basis of safety, health and stopping the disease. The question for us is, as we get the numbers down, so, you know, it becomes 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,600, maybe even fewer, your chances of being, you know, 2 metres or 1 metre or even, you know, 25, a foot away from somebody who has the virus, obviously going down statistically. So you start to build some more margin for manoeuvre, and we'll be looking at that and we'll be keeping it under constant review as we go forward to the next step in our plan, which is, as you know, July the 4th. And so we'll be keeping it under review for July the 4th.
But this is a political decision. You're the Prime Minister. It would always have been down to you. The evidence is there without a review. So why not just change it now?
Because the guidance at the moment is that there are benefits, and you'll have seen what Sage said, there are benefits in terms of the I don't know how to express this, the projectile of the
cloud. Disease.
The cloud, that's right, thank you. There are benefits in terms of preventing the disease from 2 metres. Now, clearly, statistically, those benefits, while important, become less valuable as we get the disease down. But what I don't want to do is sacrifice the huge efforts of the British people in beating this disease. We've done a fantastic job. The country has come together to squash the incidence of the disease down, and that gives us the potential now to look at those rules.
On Saturday, central London was a scene of protests prompted by the defacing of the cenotaph and a statue of Winston Churchill from the weekend before. 6 people were hospitalised after the demonstration turned violent and the police made over 100 arrests. Sophie Rich asked the Chancellor Rishi Sunak for his take.
The Prime Minister described what we saw yesterday as racist thuggery. How would you describe it?
I would agree with him. I think the scenes we saw yesterday were both shocking and disgusting. This has always been an open and tolerant country, and what we saw yesterday was not that. And I fully support the police in taking the action that they did. It's sad that they had to, and I would urge everyone to remember that at a time when we're facing a pandemic in this country, to be mindful of that and to act responsibly.
Sunak went on to speak to Andrew Marr, who asked him about how the economy was going to fare over the near future, following the news that the UK's economy shrank by more than 20% in April.
The Institute for Employment Studies says, for instance, unemployment right now, they think, has almost certainly reached 3 million, the highest since the 1980s. We think that it's more likely than not that by the autumn, the level of unemployment will be higher than it has ever been in our history. Is that what we're facing as a country?
Yeah, I've always been very clear, despite the unprecedented action that we've just been discussing, there's no way I can protect every single job and every single business through this. There is going to be hardship ahead. But I think as we think about the next stages of our economic response and the plan that we're putting in place, we took the action we did in the short term. I think the next stages of that plan are to safely reopen our economy. The best way to protect those jobs, say, for example, the millions of people that work in retail or hospitality, is to reopen those sectors. That's what we're able to do starting tomorrow. Shops across the country will be able to reopen. That's going to help protect all the people that work in those shops, allow them to get back to their jobs. And hopefully we can do the same for the hospitality and leisure sectors in early July. And we can do that because we've met the tests that we set out last month in the Prime Minister's plan. We've made progress, so we can take these next steps.
Ridge pressed the Shadow Home Secretary, Nick Thomas-Simmons, on where Labour was sympathetic to one of the key demands of the activist group Black Lives Matter.
Now, you've tweeted using the Black Lives Matter hashtag, as has Keir Starmer. When you go on the official Black Lives Matter website, one of the first things you see is a link which says defund the police. Elsewhere on the website, it says we call for a national defunding of police. Do you agree with those aims?
Well, no, I don't want to defund the police. But what I do say, Sophie, is that there is a very deep anger out there. And it's not for me to start lecturing people as to how to express that anger. Here is where I say, again, the government has to step up to act, recognise the depth of feeling, recognise the depth of the anger. And the Prime Minister has to show leadership, acknowledge this anger, acknowledge the structural racism and inequality that exists. And as I've indicated already, do something about it and act. That's what we need at this powerful national moment.
Thomas Symonds also singled out a particularly grim episode from Saturday's protest for condemnation.
And I want to say a particular word as well about that awful scene of someone urinating next to PC Keith Palmer's memorial. Absolutely despicable behaviour, and I hope that individual is identified and brought to justice.
It has been alleged that the government has censored part of a report from Public Health England into the impact of coronavirus on ethnic minorities. The Shadow Justice Secretary, David Lammy, gave his verdict.
It's a scandal if one week Boris Johnson and Matt Hancock say Black Lives Matter, and then we find out today that they've buried part of the review that had the recommendations in it to do something about it. Where are the work assessments for Black and ethnic minorities, particularly at the front line in public services?
Being published this week.
Well, get on with it, because people are dying every day, and you said Black Lives Matter. It's no wonder why people are upset, because this is a very, very serious business. The statistics are grim. Again, you're in government. Do something about it. Save lives.
And finally, Lammy told Marr that he did not foresee Winston Churchill's statue in Parliament Square suffering the same fate as that of the slave trader Edward Colston.
All week we've been talking about statues being pulled down. Now, an awful lot of people would say, you know, if it's somebody who is basically known as a slave trader, fine, let them go down. But when it comes to someone like Winston Churchill, a much more heroic figure and very much beloved by people in this country, do you understand why so many people are angry when his statue is attacked?
Well, his statue should never have been attacked, and the idiots that did it deflect from the central message of Black Lives Matter. But is anyone seriously calling for Winston Churchill's statue to come down? I mean, I hope not. I mean, clearly, Winston Churchill stood in Parliament prior to the war. He was one of the only MPs speaking out against appeasement. He then, after Chamberlain resigned, became leader and led a coalition government that defeated fascism. And for all of those reasons, he's hugely respected. So I wouldn't support his statue coming down. But I recognise, of course, there's a debate about what he did in Bengal with the famine, what he did in the Tony Pandy riots. And I did a documentary for Channel 4 just a few months ago, where I looked at his attitude to Africans that had contributed to the First World War, and he was found wanting. Many great figures in history are also flawed, and we ought to be able to have that debate as well.
That's all for this week. I'm Katie Balls, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily evening blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
The Spectator magazine combines incisive political commentary with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Stock up on your summer reading with a 12-week subscription, in print and online, for just £12. Plus, we'll send you a copy of Spectator columnist Lionel Shriver's new book, The Motion of the Body Through Space, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/Lionel.